Morning, Your Honors. David Trace for the petitioner on Court Aid. This case is really about who the statute that governs asylum and withholding of removal was created to protect, under what circumstances and under what situations. Essentially, we have two issues here, whether there was a nexus between the persecution that the petitioner suffered in a protected ground, and whether the persecution suffered constitutes persecution under the Act. Factually, Ankur Aid was a hardware store owner in Algeria. He was approached by terrorists on numerous occasions. He was threatened. He was told that he needed to provide these terrorists with the materials and chemicals that they wanted, or they would kill him. Essentially, what was testified to is that they said to him, "You work for us, and you do what we are doing for this country." That statement, right then and there, that night, when he had a gun to his head and a knife in his stomach, these terrorists imputed a political opinion upon him.
Now, the gun in the head and knife to the stomach, was that when they came to his home later on, or was that during one of those first encounters at the store?
That was later, Your Honor. That was after they had come to his home.
So he had a couple of encounters at the house and then one at the home, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I was unclear, too. Apparently there was a threat to his father, is that correct?
They looked for him at his father's house later. However, the threat that was worked towards the petitioner. But later, his brother-in-law, while working at the hardware store, was shot and killed while closing up the hardware store at night. And this was after the petitioner had fled the area to avoid these terrorists and their demands.
Now, the government, in its brief, says that since he was never actually physically harmed, we can't consider this persecution. What's your answer to that?
My answer to that, Your Honor, is that threats made by people who are known to carry out these threats is enough for persecution. I don't think the statute intended for people to have to wait to be tortured, to be physically harmed, or to stick around to see if they're going to be killed when there's a pattern and practice of these terrorist groups doing what they say they're going to do
in that respect. Can economic harm be enough?
Economic harm can be, certainly.
They in effect shut this guy's store down, right?
Well, they in effect shut him down, and he tried to reopen in another town where there was a greater police presence and army presence. And however, that's where his brother-in-law was killed. So I think under the circumstances, he did the best he could. And the political opinion...
He's not a member of a group. That's the problem, right?
Well, Your Honor...
He's not a member of a political group or anything of that sort.
Well, he's not a member of a political group. What happened here was that the political opinion was imputed upon him by these terrorists.
I don't understand that imputation. He's just a businessman who's subject to extortion.
Extortion, Your Honor, that's been politically motivated. And
no, but that's like saying if terrorists rob a bank or someone, they're persecuting the people in the bank on the basis of political or some or religious or whatever the other list of items, which isn't true. They're just trying to get money. Right?
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, you're right. They are trying to get money, just as these people
would extort from their supporters as well.
But this extortion was motivated by political motives.
Yes, that's true when they're extorting their own members, right? Their own supporters. They're doing it for political aims because they're a political group, but they're not doing it because they don't like the political views or religion or what have you of the people they're extorting.
It's not because they disagree with the political view. This man had no particular political view.
That's what's fatal, because if you look at the statute, it's only persecution on certain grounds that are entitle you to asylum.
Correct, Your Honor.
And you're a crime victim.
Respectfully, Your Honor, this was no common crime.
It doesn't matter what kind of crime it is. The point is, how do you fit him into the statute? The statute defines persecution as, or the only types of persecution that are give you right to asylum are persecution because of your membership in a group. Now, we have this social group. It's been stretched a bit. It could include, you know, rich landowners in Colombia. We had a case like that. But this person doesn't seem to belong to any group.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, as we move over to whether he belongs to a particular social group, I think it can be considered that, like the landowners, and in a matter of Acosta, when the BIA defined who could be a member of a social group, they include landowners. And here we have a business owner. And it's very similar.
But in Colombia, there's a conflict between the landowning class and these terrorist groups. They despise the landowners. But AID is not part of some group. I mean, you could have the GIA terrorist group. It could have it in for people who own hardware stores. They don't like them. They think they're not properly Islamic. That's possible, but that's not. There's no indication.
Well, Your Honor, when the petitioner refused to give in to their demands, which were politically motivated, they came to his home.
That's irrelevant.
Counsel, he went to the police at least how many times? Twice, am I correct?
He went to the police at least once, and all they did was take a statement.
It was twice.
I have it as once, and he did not receive help, taking a statement.
Yeah.
And the police there, in fact, are scared of the terrorists, and the country reports that there's an ongoing battle between the terrorists and the police. And Mr. Aid.
So this was an unwilling hardware store owner, wasn't it? This guy had in effect chosen sides, hadn't he?
He did not choose sides.
But, you sure of that?
Well, he had chosen to stay. He certainly didn't side with the terrorists, but he was forced to aid and abet them, and at the risk of coming to the attention to the police. So we have someone who had an imputed political opinion on both sides. The police could impute one on him for helping the terrorists, for aiding them.
How could they do that? He came and asked for help.
And that's what saved him from that. And that's why he did it. Other people, by his testimony, were too scared to do that. And then the police...
So he's a stand-up. He's going to stand up to these terrorists, right?
Well, he's trying to stand up for himself, whether it's by fleeing, whether it's by opening a hardware store somewhere else. He wants to get out of the way. And what they've done is they've put him right in the middle.
Well, what he's got is things they want, obviously.
He's got things that they want, and if he doesn't help them, he's going to... They threatened him with death, and his brother-in-law was indeed killed.
What we're trying to explore here is that the reason, if they're attacking him because of what he's got and they need, it has nothing to do. If they were just attacking hardware store owners of a certain religion or a certain political bent and leaving others alone, for instance, then clearly he would be in a protected class of what we have to look at in the statute. It seems they wanted his hardware goods, and that's why they were after him.
Initially.
And he wanted to be left alone so he could run his business.
And when he doesn't comply with them, with their demands, he's subject to death.
Right.
Counsel,
We also... Yes, Your Honor.
Did not he go to the police twice? You're sure of that? The second time after they put the gun to his head, his knife to the stomach?
Yes, Your Honor, you're right. He went twice. I think it needs to be borne in mind that the statute was designed to protect people. And also people who are in a position, not just based on, but protect people in instances where what's happening to them is offends the conscience, where they shouldn't have to change who they are. He shouldn't have to stop being a business owner. He shouldn't have to move away. This is part of his identity, and this is part of being in that particular social group.
What is the social group?
Of being a business owner.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
We have landowners, and he's a business owner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, judges.
Ms. Farrell.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Corey Farrell, and I am here today on behalf of the Attorney General. This case is about a man who owned a hardware store, which had supplies wanted by groups in the ongoing conflict between terrorists and government forces in Algeria. Here, Mr. Ayed testified that men whom he believed to be terrorists came to his store on several occasions demanding goods such as chemicals used in this conflict, and on at least one occasion they threatened him at gunpoint. However, once Mr. Ayed arrived in the United States, he waited over 7.5 years to file an application for asylum based on these incidents. And while these events were no doubt terrifying and unfortunate, they do not establish a clear probability that Mr. Ayed was persecuted on account of a protected ground. Here he failed to establish both that the harm he suffered rose to the level of persecution and that it was on account of a protected ground, either of which can support the agency's decision.
No, I don't think that's right. If this were somehow a social group of business, then he would have a well-founded fear of persecution if he returned, even if he wasn't persecuted yet, right?
Well, Your Honor, as to the social group, that issue...
No, I understand that, but you can get asylum because you have a well-founded fear of persecution if you're sent to some country, even though you were not persecuted yet, right?
That's true. He would not have been entitled to the presumption.
That would be his strong... That's his strong part of his case, that he really is in danger, at least if he goes back into the hardware business. But it's the social group. That's the weak part of his case, obviously.
Well, based on the evidence presented, substantial evidence does not compel reversal of the agency's denial of withholding of removal here. As to the on account of prong, as I was stating, that this social group issue has not been exhausted in this case and therefore is not properly before the court. What is before the court is whether he was persecuted on account of a political opinion, either imputed to him or an expressed political opinion. And here, Mr. Ayed was required to show that these men came to him because of his political opinion. And there is just no evidence in the record that the terrorists were motivated by anything but a need for supplies. So he did not meet the on account of prong. And second, as to past persecution, the immigration judge found that the events he experienced did not rise to the level of persecution. He was threatened. There's no...
I don't understand why you focus on the weakest part of your case, right? Because the fact that he hasn't been persecuted yet doesn't mean he doesn't have a well-founded fear of persecution if he's sent back. They do seem to be quite persistent in trying to get after him.
Okay, well then...
If he goes back, he'd be very foolish to go back into the hardware business.
Then even if that is the case, he still failed on the nexus prong.
What's a nexus prong? Why do people use words like that? Nexus prong. That's not English. But what are you talking about?
He did not show that any harm he suffered was on account of a protected ground under
the
IMA.
That I understand. That's your strong argument.
And in this case, it is political opinion. And Mr. Ayed was not a member of any political group. He never expressed any political statement. He never testified that he refused these men because he opposed them politically. And so, therefore, there's just...
What did they make this comment to him about they were doing something for the country?
That you work for us and
yeah.
we do this.
Yeah.
We're doing this for the country. Even if...
When did he make the statement? During which one of their visitations?
I believe, Your Honor, during the last visit, the fourth visit, when they came to his home and when they threatened him.
So this guy was resisted them throughout, is that right?
That's correct.
And that's not a political opinion in your view?
Well, even if that was a political statement, that may show a generalized political motive on the part of the terrorists. But you know, Elias Zacharias stated that even a generalized political motive is insufficient. Mr. Ayed would need evidence.
Why does generalized have to do? I don't understand you. I thought your position is it doesn't matter what the terrorist motive is. Of course, they're political. That's ordinarily what terrorism means. Well, the question is whether they are just to advance their political ends, they're engaged in extortion, or whether they're targeting, as in our Hoare case of a couple of years ago, whether they're targeting someone because... in part or whole, he's a member of the opposition, the FLN.
That's correct. Mr. Ayed would need to show
so
that...
Why did you talk about generalized motive? What's that about?
That this statement that these men made to him, even if it was a...
What do you mean, even if it was? Obviously a political statement. They say, we're doing this, you're causing this mayhem for the country. They're revolutionaries. That's political. It's not. I don't know what generalized has to do with it.
Okay.
Well, I think we're highly specific, saying we're doing this. We need money. We want to kill the people. We want to kill the prime minister. We want to establish an Islamic Salafist government. That would be very specific. Why would that alter the fact? It wouldn't alter whether Ayed is a member of a political group, would it?
No, and he would need to show that they came to him because of his political opinion, not because of the political...
Generalized motive doesn't have anything to do with anything, does it?
No, Your Honor. And in this case, there is no evidence that they came to him for a political reason or targeted him because...
No, they came to him for their political reason.
But not for his.
Not because he's a political opponent, but because he's a hardware store owner. Right?
That's correct, and they needed the supplies that his store had.
I assume when he went to the police, he was complaining about these terrorists robbing him and threatening him and was asking for some sort of protection. They didn't do anything or whatever their reason. They took notes and things like that. They didn't intimidate him at that point, apparently.
No.
But didn't then go and stand guard on his store or anything else. So he was not protected. He didn't complain and say, they're after me because I'm the wrong religion or because of my political views.
No, he did not.
He complained because his store was being robbed.
Correct. And he was afraid that if he did not complain to the police, that they would believe that he was working with the terrorists.
Oh, so he went there to assure the police as well that he is not working with them.
That's
he's
correct.
Just a hardware store owner, and he's not one of them. And I guess that's another reason to go to the police. I don't know.
Is there evidence in the record that that was his motive in going to the police?
I believe there's some testimony around 99 and 100 of the record that he referred to another store owner who was targeted by the terrorists and did not go to the police.
So I'm with you guys, I'm not with them.
Correct.
That sounds like a political view right there. With you guys, I'm not with them. Page 99 to 100 of the record right there.
He never expressed that to the men who came to him. There's no evidence that...
No, he just kept resisting. Most of the time you don't get to have a rational discussion with terrorists. It's part of the gig.
But he needed to present some evidence that they came to him because of a political opinion, and there's not evidence which would compel a result different from the agencies here on that issue. If there are no further questions, for the foregoing.
Thank you, Ms. Farrell.
Yep.
Mr. Trace, your time. Do you have any more time? No, your time has expired. Thank you. Move on to our next case.